Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in Lord's house this morning. Yes, I'm grateful for being a first-time grandfather. 65 years old, so I'm starting out late. Now I pray that maybe I'll have a few years to enjoy this child. Jason and Casey, who are members here, they're in Auburn right now at the hospital and with the new baby boy. As far as I know right now, he'll be named William, and I'm not sure that's completely solid right now, but for all purposes, it seems to be so, and everybody seems to be doing well, and they'll be there through tomorrow and go home. This morning, I was just wanting to say a few words about confessing Jesus Christ before men. It's been something that's been on my mind a lot. And we all know that the Lord is the Son of God and He's the Son of Man. We preach that. We try to somewhat focus in on what does it mean to know Jesus Christ and for Him to be in our lives. And simply put, I believe we have a new nature that is created in the same holiness and righteousness as Christ. And God Himself that cannot sin. The Bible teaches us that. But we have a problem. We got an old nature. Jesus Christ, Son of Man, in His humanity had no sin. But He also was deity as well. But I believe with all my heart that He lived a complete 33 and a half years life as the perfect human being, the last Adam, as our example that we can have in our new nature. And what we need more than anything, I believe, is to confess Him before men that He is our Savior and that He did the things that He did through the power of the Spirit of God and did all those things that pleased His Father. And we talk a lot in other faiths about Him being the Son of God, but I think we don't see the Son of Man in Him, the humanity. He's sitting right now at the right hand of the Father as a perfect human being that is glorified, that has all power and authority under Him, and God has given Him that, and that He is ruling and reigning in a kingdom right now. And if we don't see that kingdom and we don't see our brother in heaven, then we're not really confessing Him. I could confess all day that He is the Son of God. He is. But He's the Son of Man. And I really believe with all my heart, and when we understand that difference, maybe we can understand ourselves. If I were to say when I got born again that I had something to do with it, that's not confessing Jesus Christ. Because we can't do anything. We're sinners in our human Adam nature, we can do nothing for ourselves. And we have to have a sovereign act by God Himself to born us again. Jesus Christ, I believe, came and laid down for the most part, acting in His deity, and picked up the human, His the ability to be a human being in the flesh with all the power that was given to Him by His Father. But I think He did that through the power of the Spirit of God. He did the miracles through the power of the Spirit of God in Him. Well, what do? We do the miracles that we witnessing to people, whatever, through the power of the Spirit of God. There's really no difference other than He was a lot better at connecting with the Spirit of God than we are, because we have a problem. We got an old nature that dogs us and makes us feel bad and accuses us. And the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes in and tortures us from time to time. We're given examples of Cain and Abel and Ishmael and Isaac and Esau and Jacob. All those stories are to tell us the flesh comes first and we have a problem. And that Ishmael, I love the story of Abraham with Sarah after the two boys were there. Ishmael was to be sent away. Ishmael and her mother, which represents the law. We need to send the law away and the Ishmael in us away. And how do we do that? Because we could send him away and he'd come right back. He'd come back many times. In that story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, I guess it was a one-time deal. Ishmael was sent away with his mother Hagar, and that was to show us an example of what we're supposed to do daily, is send our old nature away. And how do we do that? In Luke 12:8-10, it says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." We have an opportunity as God's children to know the truth of who Jesus is and how he saves his people. The angel told Mary, "He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." How did he do that? He did it as a perfect human being, and then made perfect sin for 3 hours and suffered the judgment that all God's children deserve, so that he might redeem us and be our kinsman redeemer and be our brother. We don't really talk very much about a brother, but I have a big brother. He's in heaven right now. And the same brother is going to come back on a white horse and take us home. And he's going to meet us in the air. He's not going to stay here on this earth. When it's over, because he comes back. The last child of grace in the Lamb's Book of Life is born again. There's no reason to continue this earth. I don't know how long after that last person. It could be a baby in the womb at one cell big. That baby could be born again, and 5 seconds later, Jesus comes back. It could be 5 years, but it won't be very long, because guess what? There are no more children of God being born again. It's over. The Lamb's Book of Life has been fulfilled. It is a finite book, and it's time for our brother to come get us. Amen? So, I think we need to confess this man, this brother. And it says that God will confess us in heaven. Or the Son of Man also, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But, and so I believe that we need to really do that. I want to close real quickly by reading John 6:53-58, and a little bit more. I think this is related to the Lord's Supper, communion. I think it's related to a lot of things. If we don't eat of Jesus Christ and his flesh, it says, and his blood, we need to think about, that's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. We're not eating Jesus Christ's physical flesh. We're not drinking his physical blood. Spiritually speaking, we need to have his life in us. We need to eat of him. And so when we have communion, we're actually acknowledging that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that he gave his life for us. Jesus Christ suffered in 3 hours the damnation that we deserve. We need to eat of that. We need to drink of that. We need to know his life. Why? Because we have a part of us inside, a new nature, that's the same righteousness and holiness of God. You don't get born again and your old nature becomes a new nature. Because the Bible declares that whosoever is born of God cannot sin. Well, if you keep sinning, then you're not born again. So therefore, we got to have those two brothers inside of us that lives to the end of our life. And then when we lay down this life physically, that old nature is gone, eliminated. We have something that goes to heaven, and that's called the new man with his mind of Christ and the spirit of the new creature. Just like Jesus, when he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," the entity of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, went to heaven. I imagine that was a pretty, pretty wonderful reunion. Just like Abraham hugged his son when he took him off the altar, I believe God the Father hugged his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. and said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have done." Then his body was in the ground for 3 days, and it did not rot. It did not decay. It was a perfect body, and he had the ability 3 days later to come back and pick it up. Now, has anybody else ever experienced eternal damnation, the lake of fire, lived a perfect life, made to be sin for three hours, went to heaven, came back and picked up their body, and will one day, now that he's in this kingdom that he is ruling and reigning from the right hand of the Father, he's going to come back on a white horse with, by the way, a bunch of white horses, because there's a lot of people that are coming with him. But they're not going to land on this earth and start another 1,000-year reign or whatever. It's over. We're going home. Praise God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then they which are alive shall be caught up, and there we'll be with him forever. So let's read and close with John 6:53-58. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." I believe that's manifested life. It's not that we got to go find Jesus' body and blood and eat and drink of it. This is a spiritual thing. It's saying, know who I am. I came and lived a perfect life for you. Use me as your example. And he says to crucify, have our take up your cross daily and be crucified in Luke 9:23. That sounds like the old nature needs to be crucified several times every day. Who has the right to crucify my flesh? The one who's been crucified, Jesus Christ. He has the right, and he knows how to put perfect nails in the flesh. He knows how to crucify our flesh so that we might live in him. And I think this is what it's talking about. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has, means perfect present tense, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's when he comes back again as our brother. He's coming back. He's a judge. He is the righteous judge sitting, ruling, and reigning in a now kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're not waiting for a kingdom. We got it now. Where is it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, not on earth, as often is misquoted at inaugurations. The kingdom of God is not on the earth. It's in us. And that kingdom is through understanding and believing who Jesus Christ is. Continuing, for my flesh is meat, and indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I'm going to add one more passage, and then I'll sit down after prayer. I am, in John 6:48-51, he says, I am the bread of life. Who's it talking about? I think the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is the bread of life. Okay? Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living word which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, Son of Man, which I will give for the life of the world. And that's not the whole world. That's the world of those chosen before the foundations of the world in Ephesians 1. He was 100% effective in paying the damnation for his people. And that's what we rejoice in. So, brethren, I encourage us to put it this way. The more I learn about the Son of Man, I learn more about myself. I learn who I am. I learn the damnation that he took for paying for that old nature in its sinful ways. And I somewhat separate myself into two beings. When I talk to somebody, I'm talking to two people. I'm talking to an old nature and a new nature. I'm married to a woman that has an old nature and she has a new nature. So we're four entities that have to get along, so to speak. But that's neither here nor there. The point I'm trying to make is Jesus Christ helps to divide that between the old nature and the new nature so that we may learn how to put Ishmael and Hagar away. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for what you've done for us. We ask that you would help us to eat of thee and drink of thee in your life, and that we would be able to live a way that is pleasing to you and confess you before men, so that you would confess us before your Father. We ask, and we know that that is something that is not required to go to eternal heaven. It's required to have heaven here on earth and see thy kingdom. So help us to live in the Spirit of God and to manifest those things which are in your life, and that our nature, old nature, would be crucified every day, every moment. Help us to save us today, and help us to understand that salvation. Please be with the rest of the service, Lord. We ask that you would be with this nation, Father. Our nation is teetering on destruction, Father. We need to repent. We need truth and justice. We need your help. But if that doesn't come and things are to go bad, Lord, may we never lose our faith. May we never grow tired of seeking the truth and loving thee, even if it comes to the point that this world just totally decays. And we understand from history that prior to your coming, it was 400 years or so of darkness before you came, and that history seems to repeat itself. So we need your help right now to stay faithful, Father, and may we worship thee in spirit and truth and learn of thee. Please bless those that have been that are sick and afflicted, and we ask that you would bless us in this service. In Christ's name, amen.